For weeks, U.S. and Iraqi forces have battled Shiite fighters loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr in the dense and poor neighborhood that bears his father's name. Now, a ceasefire aimed at ending that violence in Sadr City has failed. NPR's Ivan Watson visited the besieged neighborhood.
Hours after the ceasefire agreement was signed, an explosion rumbled across Sadr City and a gun battle broke out several blocks away. Several bullet rounds zipped overhead as a bruised and bloody man, who appeared to be a wounded fighter, limped into the office of Muqtada Sadr's movement in Sadr City. The men sitting inside were unarmed, but were clearly militia fighters. Their leader, a bearded man named Abu Mustafa, claimed his gunmen had destroyed some 150 American tanks and Humvees over the last month. "I don't trust this ceasefire agreement with the Iraqi government," the commander said, adding, "they have violated many truces before." On another side of the embattled neighborhood, some residents, like this engineer who refused to give his name, criticized the Iraqi government, saying it was calling off its campaign to disarm Sadr's militia far too soon.
"You think they should keep fighting? Destroy the militias?"
"Yes. I hate militias. They kill people without any reason."
The engineer was speaking as he walked through the heavily guarded checkpoint that has become one of the only gateways connecting Sadr City's 2 million residents to the rest of Baghdad. Cars are banned from driving through here, so every day tens of thousands of Sadr City residents make a procession through here on foot. U.S. and Iraqi government forces have encircled the neighborhood with concrete walls, tanks, and barbed wire, prompting Iraqis to nickname this area Gaza. The slowdown in the fighting has allowed 19-year-old Huda Kadim Ali and her two girlfriends to emerge from the war zone for the first time in months, clutching bright pink notebooks. Huda now hopes to resume her freshman year in college.
"Having gone to the university for 2 months because of the circumstances and the bad situation, but because today we have an exam, we had to go on foot."
The long battle here has taken a terrible toll on these people. This grieving woman, dressed in long black robes, sobbed as she described how her 15-year-old son Ali was killed by a sniper while shopping for bread. Inside Sadr City, a taxi driver named Walid Hussein Mohammed gave visitors a surreal guided tour of the sprawling slum.
"Driving through the maze of streets here in the heart of Sadr City, our taxi driver is pointing out buried roadside bombs buried in the asphalt. On one street, you'll see a wedding convoy driving past, children playing in the streets, and at the next street corner, there'll be twisted rubble and bombed-out cars and Iraqi and American armored vehicles hunkered down and defending themselves periodically against militia attacks."
Before dropping off his passengers, the taxi driver, who is missing four fingers on his right hand, admits that he, too, is one of Sadr's fighters. "We can survive this siege for a long time," he swears, adding, "if Muqtada Sadr gives us the order, then we'll go and, one by one, pull the American soldiers from their tanks."
Ivan Watson, NPR News, Baghdad.